Hello and welcome to Rhythm and Brews. I have a first time guest with me today, and actually not only your first time on the show, but your first time doing a podcast ever.
Ever. Right? Ever, hands down. Yep.
Are you nervous?
A little bit.
One of the other distinctions you've got is you are, I think, the third woman to appear on this show. And the first to appear in a one-on-one interview style episode.
Well, conveniently, I'm a woman who has a lot of opinions about music and beer.
Okay.
So it seemed appropriate.
Right on. Well, who are you here to talk to me about today?
So I'm here to talk about Aesop Rock, who is someone that I probably consider to be probably the best lyricist of all time. Definitely a little more obscure, not super well known, not like you've ever heard anything of his on the radio, but somebody that I just have a ton of respect for, and I like lyrics in general in all music, and he just blows my mind on a consistent basis. So figured it'd be something fun to talk about.
I will be 100% honest with you, until about 3 days ago, anytime we talked about this episode, I was like, why does she keep mispronouncing ASAP Rocky?
It's super common. Like, people make that mistake on a regular basis, and it's...
I know everything there is to know about ASAP Rocky now because I was trying to prepare for this episode.
Oh, no. I know nothing about him except that he's... Isn't he one of those, like, trap with the face tattoos, like,
well,
that kind of dude?
So that, I think, will be good for our drinking game later because he's going to factor into that.
Great.
Because I made the drinking game around him and I was like, fuck it, I did all this work.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding.
Well, I'm going to lose that real hard, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's not like ASAP Rocky trivia or anything like that, but okay, cool. Yeah, so it does seem like from what I read, his thing is how crazy and vast his vocabulary is in his lyrics.
Yeah, he's like, so somebody on Reddit a few years back did this infographic that laid out rappers in relation to how big their vocabulary was, and it was like, you know, everybody else, like the real simple kind of folks on one side, kind of what you'd expect, and then they had to basically like put in a space that where they extended the line beyond the page, and then it was like Bus Driver and Aesop Rock was way on top. So by a landslide. It's the only musician I think that I've ever had to pull out a dictionary and be like, wait, what word is that?
Yeah, I read that he like reads articles, and anytime he sees a word that he like doesn't know or thinks is interesting, he'll like try to put it in one of his songs.
Yeah, he fixates on it, and it's like he's been accused before of just like the lyrics being nonsensical and just kind of like cramming stuff in there to sound complex. And there's a quote somewhere where he responded to that and was like, that's absolutely not the case. If you pay attention to what I'm saying, there's a point to all of it. I'm not just...
Will say, I read the lyrics to one song and I was like, I have no fucking idea what this is about. And I read that quote, that exact quote that you're talking about, where I was like, yeah, I'm sure there's like stuff that you can glean. That said, the song that I read was called out as a specific example of like one of his most obscure songs where it was like impossible to decipher what it's about.
Was it Daylight?
No, it wasn't. No, okay. I forget what it was called, but it was like, I remember being like, it sounds good. Like, if I read these out loud, that it's like a cool, clever, pleasing rhyme scheme and all that,
but also like, what in the actual fuck are you talking about?
I have no idea what it's about. But that said, I think I listened to one of his songs and I don't remember what it was called. So this is going to be an experience for me as we get into it. We'll get into the playlist that you put together for us in a second. But before we do that, we always start with BYOB. So tell us what we're drinking and why.
So what we're drinking is Nightlight by Night Shift Brewing, which conveniently is one of my favorite beers that's kind of local to Massachusetts, being that I'm a recent transplant. And I honestly like am appalled at how long it took me to think of picking this beer, because there's a song on my playlist called Nightlight, and yet somehow it didn't click in my head until this morning that I could just pick that beer. So that's what we're drinking.
And considering we just sprang forward last night, so we're recording this at 11 a.m., but to our bodies it feels like 10 a.m. If you have to drink beer at 10 a.m., a light beer is probably a good place to start.
True story. Yeah, my backup plan was a coffee porter because he has a quote that's one of my favorites, where he says, "I've done my chores according to God's schedule, with coffee holding the wheel and nicotine working the pedals." Hmm. And that's like, that speaks to my soul.
Yeah, and that would have worked too, I think, if it has coffee in it, it's a breakfast beer.
Right. But no, we're sticking with something light, so.
Well, let's crack these open, and then we'll dive into your playlist. What's the first track we're going to start with?
So, I want to give one disclaimer before we dive in to those maybe handful of people who may hear this someday who are actually, like, Aesop Rock fans as well. All of the songs on my playlist really are primarily from two albums. He has a ton of albums. I've listened to them all. They're all incredible. But I wanted to focus the conversation on songs that I had, like, these are the albums that I've studied, that I know deeply in like, inside and out, up inside and down the other, because I know the words to the songs. I've listened to them for years and years. And so there is a ton of other brilliant Aesop stuff. Arguably, there are songs that are better than the ones I picked that aren't on this list, but these are just the ones that I have basically studied because, as you'll soon see, the density of the lyrics is just, to know the songs, truly, you kind of have to study them. So okay, that's my disclaimer. So the first song, I started with what I think is probably the most accessible Aesop song to somebody who's never heard him before, and it's a song called Kirby. It's off the album The Impossible Kid, and this is the one song where, like, if people have heard of Aesop Rock but don't know him well, this is the song that they'll know, and it's about his cat named Kirby. The video I also recommend is wonderful. It's a puppet version of Aesop Rock singing the song with a tiny tortoiseshell kitten just attacking it.
Cute.
But yeah, essentially it's, you know, it's about how his cat saved his life, effectively. Like, he's had a long history with mental health challenges, and, there's another song that we'll talk about that a little bit more later, but, you know, essentially he has been in therapy for a lot of years, has been on medication for a lot of years for things like depression and anxiety. And the last line of the song, which we'll hear eventually, but is 15 years taking prescriptions, now a shrink, like, I don't know, maybe get a kitten. And so, yeah, MD recommended sense of purpose. Like,
so, like, get a cat to help with your depression is the vibe?
Yeah, like, he's talking about, you know, I'm doing tours, I'm coming home, and it's just this empty house, and, you know, I need a reason, and the therapist is like, get a cat, I guess. And I think he thought it was kind of a ridiculous suggestion, but then got a cat, and, like, he refers in the song to the cat as God, as, like, a wizard, as, you know, it's kind of, like, it's an homage to his cat, which is pretty cool as a cat person.
You can see why somebody who is not exposed to him would have trouble deciphering these lyrics, though, if he's referring to his cat as a god and a wizard, and this is the most accessible song.
Yeah, but, like, puke in the meow mech, shred a pair of earbuds, like, I don't know. And this is, when I say accessible, I mean, like, if you're not talking, you can hear what he's saying. It's, like, a little bit slower. It's just,
I do feel like I would want to read it in front of me. Like, I feel, yeah, like, what was it on VH1 where they had the lyrics up on
the... It was, like, Pop-Up Video. No, Pop-Up Video had the little, like,
there were
tidbits.
Too many of those, like, gimmicky shows.
But I know what you mean. Like, a lyric video where it's flashing as you're listening. You have to. Like, yeah. Even with this even, but with, like, the next song, next two songs we're going to get into are... I mean, you can't, like, your brain can't process the lyric you just heard without four more going by. Which is one of the things I like about him, but it also makes it difficult because I'm that guy who, like, will find a song and be like, oh, this relates to your situation, you should listen to it. And when I do that with Aesop songs, people just look at me like I have four heads because I don't know what he's saying.
Yeah, but I guess that probably means there's a lot of re-listen value because there's, like, a lot more that you're discovering every time you listen to it.
Absolutely. I mean, there's still, even, like, doing the research for this, you know, pulling up the lyrics to look at it for things I wanted to make sure I called out, I found new things. And so I'm somebody who, like, just retains lyrics. I know the lyrics to everything. Not everything, but most things. And so I think that's part of the reason I gravitate toward him is that it's truly, a challenge to learn the lyrics, but then it's, like, it's all such a tongue twister. It's even hard to say.
Yeah. Yeah, even the song I was reading the lyrics for, I was like, I would have to say this so slowly to not fuck it up.
Yeah, reading along, it's still hard. So you can hear this one, again, is a little bit more dense in terms of the lyrics. This is the song called Daylight, and the next song is called Nightlight, and they are parallels of each other. So the beat's different, the chorus is different, but the structure of the song is the same. So there are like phrases that echo one another but are different, which I thought was super cool when I first heard it.
They're on the same album?
Yeah, well, so Daylight was released first on one of his older EPs, and then he released an LP called Daylight that had Daylight and Nightlight on it and only like five or six other songs. And that was really it came out in like, I think 2001. And that was my first introduction, was this EP. So really like these Daylight and Nightlight were the first two songs on the album. But there's like, just as examples, in this song, he says, "Now it's honor and I spell it with the H I stole from Heritage." And in Nightlight, he says, "It's gutter and I spell it with the G I stole from Get the Fuck Up." And there's a couple others, like, trying to think. And this one, he says, "This origami dream is beautiful, but man, those wings will never leave the ground without a feather and a lottery ticket. Now settle down." And in Nightlight, he says, "This origami dream is beautiful. Pull the tail, watch the wings flap, but you really can't do a thing like that." So I don't know.
What's it about?
It's a great question. I think, so the chorus basically sums it up, like, "All I ever wanted was to pick apart the day, put the pieces back together my way." Like, he just talks about how it's kind of how screwed up the world is, and how we're all just sort of sheep kind of wandering through it, and the country is a little jacked up and it's all broken. Like, this is, yeah. So yeah, I was talking at the beginning of that, but like, "Life's not a bitch, life is a beautiful woman. You only call her a bitch because she won't let you get that pussy." And then in Nightlight, he says, "Life's not a bitch, life is a biatch who keeps the villagers circling the marketplace out searching for the G-spot." Like, I don't know, it's just, I think it's about how life's kind of messed up. And
yeah, it's interesting because I feel like it has the vagueness and obscurity of like poetry. Like when I was in high school and like reading poems and being like, "What the fuck is this person trying to say?" But you're just, it feels, it's interesting because you're not used to that in rap.
Yeah, it's like, is that a metaphor or did you just stick that in there because it rhymes? Like, and it flows into the next, you know. And I think with him it's mostly intentional, which is why I appreciate him as a lyricist. Although, again, arguably, like, this was back in 2001. I think as I get later into the playlist, there will be songs from newer albums, specifically his newest album, The Impossible Kid. And it's very evident how he matured, I think. Like, I think he embraced, I guess accessible is the word I keep coming back to, but, like, making a structure, telling a story that's a little more cohesive and logical, I think, so that people would have an easier time digesting it.
Sure.
I don't know if that was intentional or if that just is how his process evolved over the years, but so yeah, this is Nightlight. So this is the parallel song. A little bit darker, a little grimier in the beat.
This is what we're drinking.
Right? Yes, Nightlight. This is what we're drinking. Exactly.
He's been operating for a long time, right? Like since the late 90s.
Late 90s,
right?
Yep.
So how, he has an insane amount of albums, right? Like, where is this in his career?
This was the Daylight EP, which I think was third, might have been third or fourth. It was Def Jux was the like little independent label that he signed on. So he has like only seven studio albums, but a bunch of EPs and LPs and singles that he released independently. So yeah, this was an EP that came out, I think, between Labor Days and Bazooka Tooth. And this song, Daylight, the song we listened to last, was on Labor Days, and then this was kind of an expansion upon that. Also on this EP, LP, I don't know, I keep calling it the wrong thing, I don't know which one it is, I think it's an EP, is there are a couple other brilliant songs. Nickel Plated Pockets is one, and there's an instrumental on it. He did a lot of beats himself. So early on, he worked with, I think his name was Blueprint was the DJ, but he also always did some production himself. And there's a song called Forest Crunk that's an instrumental that's just like beautiful. But there's a song at the end of the, there's a secret song on the album, called One of Four, where it's basically his nervous breakdown in a song. It's kind of a thank you to the people who helped him through it when he thought he was gonna die, like he was losing his mind. And so again, this was back in like 2001. And you, I like that you can see the evolution of his journey with mental health from that point in a lot of the songs that he sings. But that was a big one that hit me back in that time. I mean, I was 18, you know.
So you've been into him since when?
I worked for a pizza place in high school, and there was a guy who worked there with me who I had a total crush on, and he was super into this like indie hip hop stuff. So, and then I had a coworker when I was working tending bar who was into, he was an actual rapper too. And so between the two of them, I got into Sage Francis, Atmosphere, Aesop, kind of that whole crew of rappers. So yeah, that was my, I was 18, 17, 18.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been a fan for a long time, and that's why I need to apologize to people, because I know I'm skipping over a lot of content.
History,
and albums.
Sure.
Yeah. But I wanted to focus on the ones that really impacted me and the things that were kind of the soundtrack to my life. So that's what you get. Yeah, he's a tricky, like...
What?
Yeah.
What's the contrast between, like, what is going on thematically or lyrically in this that either runs parallel to Daylight or contrasts with it?
I think it's again, they both kind of have that theme about the world's messed up, people are weird, things are kind of crazy. Daylight is definitely more optimistic in the spins, like even that line, honor and I spell it with the H, I stole from Heritage, versus like gutter and I spell it with the G, I stole from Get the Fuck Up. There's a line in Daylight where he says, I'm sleeping now and the settlers laugh. You won't be laughing when your covered wagons crash. You won't be laughing when the buses drag your brother's flags to rags. You won't be laughing when your front lawn's spangled with epitaphs. And then in Nightlight, he says, and I can't sleep now. Yeah, the police will laugh. You won't be laughing when your covered wagons crash. You won't be laughing when you're hosted by the ghost of Christmas past. You won't be laughing when your blow-up doll's got a headache and won't give up the ass. Like, I feel like Nightlight just takes it to a very cynical place.
A little more pessimistic.
Yeah, a little more salty.
This one, this is None Shall Pass, right? Uh-huh. This is actually the song that I read the lyrics for, and I was like, what is this about?
Really?
Yeah, it is. Well, and because on Wikipedia, if you look, there's a section on there called lyrics, and it gets into that whole thing about how some people say he just kind of throws words together and he disputes that or whatever, but they give an example of the song to kind of illustrate the point, and mm-hmm. that's the one. So it's probably gonna be to the extreme, but I could not crack the code of this
no.
song personally.
Oh, that's hilarious. So this one, this is, I'll call this my greatest conquest with Aesop, because again, like I learn words to things very easily, and you know, there are songs of his that I've just kind of learned kind of organically over time. This one, I had to fight to learn. And I know every word. I can do it. I've done it many times in my car to the instrumental. I did it once at a random karaoke night. But this is the one that was the hardest. And I'm trying to think. I mean, I think it's about... It's tough to say. I feel like each of the verses is kind of about something different. And I guess that's the other thing that's really hard with him, is you can find meaning in a phrase, but it isn't necessarily cohesive with the entire song. So song meanings, I think it's song meanings. There's people, and there's an Aesop Rock subreddit where people like really dig into it and kind of break down the metaphor and what they think he's saying. And I think one of the things that he's always said is like, I write it and it means something to me, but like that it can mean whatever it means to you, like however it hits you when you hear the lyrics. And maybe it's just a bunch of happy gibberish. I don't know.
It is very sonically pleasing. In the way that poetry is too. I think that's a big thing with poetry, is you're trying to say something in a way that you have to think about it and that sounds nice and is not necessarily explicit.
Right. Right. You have to like think on it, really. And I will say with him, one of the things I appreciate is that, and I think that makes it harder to learn the words to be able to like sing along, and this one legit, like before each verse I have to like take a deep breath or I'm not getting through it, but the beats are good. I like what he does musically, so they're appealing too, but then the lyrics don't always necessarily fall dead in time with the beat. So like as a musician, like, you know, listening to hip hop in general, you kind of those two things are always so closely linked that like if you pull the instrumental track up and play it, like it's pretty easy generally to kind of keep up with, even like reading the lyrics to keep up with it. And I find that's not true with him, which is just another layer of complexity that makes it, I don't know. I like how it sounds, so I think it gives him a unique sort of aesthetic.
He kind of reminds me of almost like a mix between Big Boi from Outkast and LP.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that for sure. I definitely think of Bus Driver too, like just in terms of the tone of voice is different, but the speed and the rhythm of like throwing the syllables together. Okay, so this one is hands down one of my favorite Aesop songs ever.
You were talking to me about this one the other day, right?
Yeah, we're back on The Impossible Kid, and I think all but one of the songs I have left are from The Impossible Kid, which is his new album. But yeah, this one is... So the video is great, and does a perfect job of explaining the song. It's like he walks into an arcade and walks up to a console machine called Therapy and pops in a quarter and starts playing it. And so each of the verses is about a phase of like going to therapy. So this right now is about filling out the paperwork. And I like that there's a shout out to Kirby in it that just happened, where he says, "My in case of emergency is in the daisies chasing birds." Like it's his cat. But yeah, this is him filling out the paperwork, and then it breaks, and then the next verse comes up, and that's like him sitting in the waiting room and just kind of looking around, observing everything and feeling anxious about what's coming up. And then the last verse is him throwing down with the therapist, and it's, I just think it's super clever. And I actually like had my therapist listen to this when I was in therapy, and fortunately, he was familiar with Aesop, so it wasn't totally out of left field, but I was like, this isn't how I feel about you, but I feel like you might appreciate it.
What's his criticism with his therapist in this?
It's not even really criticism. I think he talks, like, there's a couple lines in this verse where he says, like, in purgatory, just before you pay up to fillet yourself, about, like, sitting in the waiting room, just waiting. And there's another line, yeah, I'm climbing up the stucco, let's get to the seppuku, like, spilling your guts, kind of. Yeah. I like the metaphor of that. But the last verse, he leads in with, like, she says, I'm not your enemy. I said, that sounds like something that my enemy would say. Instead of playing off the chemistry, she says, you're being difficult. I said, I'm being guarded. You're a quarter mil in debt. I get more guidance from my barber. Like, it's just, he talks about how it's kind of, it feels like a sham. Like, it feels like this, like, it's a, what's the other line? She said, when you start getting all expressive and symbolic, it's impossible to actualize an honest diagnostic. I said, when you start getting all exact and algebraic, I'm reminded it's a racket, not a rehabilitation. So it's just like, I don't know. I think he feels like it should be more about the person, and she's just like trying to throw him in a textbook, like find the definition of what his deal is. And
got it.
Yeah. I don't know, but also at the very end of the song, it's like, will you be needing another appointment? Absolutely. Like, So I think he gets the like the need for it, and I think it's heartwarming for me after listening to like One of Four growing up and the difficult part of dealing with mental health that he kind of went through, and then to hear this where he can laugh at it a little bit, and even the songs like Kirby where he talks about like the cat was better for him than the 15 years of prescriptions, and like being able to kind of grow up and see yourself for your flaws and challenges is, I can relate, I think.
That's one of the ones that I feel like is most conceptually coherent. Like, it's just clear what he's talking about throughout that entire song.
Yeah, very distinct phases.
Which is kind of the first song I felt that way about. But again, not that it's a bad thing. It's just very different.
Well, and I think, again, I think this album is very, like, Kirby, if you read the words along to that, it's like he talks about, like, buying a kitten from a lady in a parking lot for $20 and, like, going home and she's tumbling around in the laundry and, like watching TV shows and, you know, how she's skittish around new people. And, I mean, it's like, I think there is much more, the songs are a more whole kind of cohesive unit on this album. Still some obscurity, obviously, but yeah, Shrunk is great. That's why I love the video for that one. It's very, it's a great painting if you've ever been to therapy, of kind of like what that process feels like. And I thought it was a good metaphor for it.
Sure, yeah. And I think anybody who's been to therapy, especially if you've got a decent amount of experience with it, you can relate to the idea of like some therapists being more effective than others. And Kat talks about it, always tells me about one of her therapists where she just felt like, I could do this better.
Oh, 100%. You know what I mean? It's like dating. Like, yeah. And I'm going through that right now. I found a therapist in Vermont that I loved, and I'm here, and I'm like, okay, it's been a year. I should probably try to find one, just not because there's, like, anything massive, just because, like, it doesn't hurt, right? Like, it's never a bad thing. And I've gone and seen a couple, and, like, the first guy I saw, I was just like, it's going to make me sound like a dick, but, like, I think I'm smarter than you. Like, it was very simplistic, and the things he was saying, I was like, no, I know that. No, I'm aware of that. Like,
when you're saying it, like, it's mind blowing.
Well, yeah, he was just like, well, you know, like, men tend to be more emotionally reserved than women. And I was like, are you, thank you?
They
like,
say men are from Mars. Like,
I was just like, I'm 36 years old. Like, do you think this is a new concept for me? Like, are we, okay, let's
like,
just,
what? We're, yeah.
Square one, let's just start. Yeah, needless
to say. That's what Kat said too, like, cause she has, I don't think she'd mind me saying she has anxiety. And so, she was like talking to her therapist, and she is very proactive too. So what she had already Googled, like all these ways to help try to manage anxiety. Mm-hmm. And she was going to a therapist for like additional, like advanced level support, you know, and just felt like the therapist was just regurgitating all the stuff that she was able to Google on her own, like 101 shit. So she was just kind of like, it's hard for me to find this valuable. And then also, totally. I don't know, there's something so transactional about it too, where like I've seen therapists at times throughout my life and always feel like it's so intimate and like personal, and then at the end you give them a check, and that always felt so weird to me.
What killed me was like, it doesn't matter where you are when like 50 minutes is up on the clock, you know, like you could be like broken down in the middle of this like revelation. It's like, oh, well, looks like our time is up. Yeah. And it's just, so I get that. I think there's value in it. But again, like I struggle with the fact that like, I've always been interested in psychology, and I think similar to Kat, like I'd done research on my own, and like, I'll walk in there and I've got a good game face. And so generally, and this is what I did when I was younger, I would like show the therapist my game face and be like, okay, this is my game face. And they're like, wow, you seem really well adjusted. And I'm like, you're an idiot. Like, I'm paying you to see through my bullshit. Get on it, you know? Which, you know, isn't necessarily the right approach. I get that now, but still.
Yeah.
I guess we should go back to talking about ASAP, probably.
Yeah, so, well, I guess we skipped a whole song. So do you have anything you wanted to say about Defender?
Defender is a good one. It's one of the ones I put on here just because there's some really clever wordplay in it, I think. I'm trying to think. I took some notes on them. he called it Wolves Are in the Sky with More Diamonds Than the Carpet from The Shining, which I appreciate because there's a video on YouTube. Somebody made a shot-for-shot brilliant remake of the entire movie The Shining as like a soundtrack to this album.
Oh, interesting.
So if you search it on YouTube, it's like little, like, you know those little like wooden puppets? They're almost like clothespins, but like you paint, like you use them, like little kids will use them as puppets. You paint faces on them or whatever. It's like those are the people and they just like bop around, but they built a set. Like it's brilliant. And I mean, like shot for shot, side by side, everything matches. And the background music is this whole album front to back. It's really great. Yeah, I don't know who did it. I don't know if it was like an, I don't think it was directly affiliated with him at all. I don't know if somebody just went for it, but it's well played. Oh, I mentioned this line to you because this is one of my favorites. So the song's about, like, the basic premise is that there's wild animals. Like, he talks about seeing a bobcat, seeing a bear, and that they have to, like, defend the neighborhood or whatever. They're all doing, like, neighborhood watch. And when they start talking about the bear, he says, soon the safety propaganda clamps breeds on leashes, no compost, bird seed out of feeders, make a lot of noise when you frolic under the ether, keep a hand on the pepper spray, sneakers on the detour, they're more scared of you than you them, although one of us chews limbs and one has two chins, which I love that line so much.
Yeah, I can relate to that more than I wish I could.
same. And then Mystery Fish, the one that I was just playing, is really great. I think the only line I would call out from that was, like, stay true like a wolf wearing wolf pants. It's just a play on, like, a wolf in sheep's clothing, which I like. And I mostly put that one in there because I think the beat is killer. And it's, like, one of the ones that I will just, like, crank the subwoofer up in my car to obscene levels and just blast it. And I, yeah, rock out. Okay, this one I do. This one's pretty heavy. So this is called Get Out of the Car. It's about his friend Kamu Tao, who died years and years ago, and it's kind of like a reflection looking back on, like, his death, how he processed it then, how things have changed since he died. And there's a lot of great lines in this one, and I also think it just, I don't know, in being somebody who's dealt with grief, like, I like the way that he's reflective about it. And there's a line where he says, A go dark in the face of the fucked when the fucked was a friend that was basically done, which to me is like, and I had a friend pass away when I was 18, my senior year of high school, and it's like him shaming himself for pulling away when his friend was sick because he didn't know how to handle it at the time. He, like, didn't [S2] Sure. [S1] Know how to process it, didn't know how to act around him, didn't know how to talk to him, like, and I relate to that. When I was in high school, I didn't know how to, like, my friend had a brain aneurysm and lived for a while, but, like, had a traumatic brain injury and was a different person. And, like,
yeah. Oh, that's hard.
It was hard not to pull away because, I mean, I was 18. Like, I didn't have the emotional wherewithal to know how to process what I was feeling or what it was or how to deal with it. So this one hit me in that, like, looking back and having that guilt about not handling it better, but also kind of have to forgive yourself, you know, for life.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is just development as a human. Like, if your brain can't process certain things at certain ages.
Exactly. There's a line at the last verse of that one where he says, knowing ain't half the battle, that's a bullshit quip written by some asshole. And I'm like, yep, nailed it. So yeah, that one, a lot of feels on that one. The video for that one's also beautiful. It's like just him sitting in a chair in the middle of the room and one of his friends, whose name escapes me, drew, like, it's all really simple line drawings like he did on, like, an iPad, but the whole background is, like, these drawings fading in and out while he's telling the story, and it's, like, drawings of people, drawings of scenes, drawings of animals. Like, it's really a gorgeous video. I enjoy that one a lot. It kind of really fits the mood of the song pretty well, and that Ace is just, like, sitting in the middle of the room on a chair just talking. This one, again, like, he grew up so much in Impossible Kid. This one's hilarious if you listen to it. It's very short, but it's basically just about him being old and, like, having no idea about anything. Like, the verse right now he's talking, well, the first verse he talks about a kid at an ice cream shop who has, like, a tattoo of lips on his neck and said something about his tattoos, and he's like, Now some 22-year-old inside some cube of brick and mortar got me questioning my morals in a corny pecking order. I could give a shit less. Cherry, no, whip, yes. Like, he, like, talks about how, like, kids will make you feel so old and irrelevant on a regular basis, which I can relate to, again, more than I would appreciate. Sure. But he's, yeah, in this bit, he said something to the effect of, like, the future is amazing. I feel so fucking old. I bet you clone your pets and ride a hoverboard to work. I used a folding map to find the juice place in the first. Like, he's not even using Apple Maps. He's just on his on a paper folding map. And it's hard to talk about Aesop. There's so, he says so much, and I'm like, well, but then this, oh, it's over.
Yeah, a couple, those the last two are very short.
Very songs, short songs, which is why there are so many, because I put this together is still only like 36 minutes of music. So this one's great. This is a song called Rings, and so Ace is also an incredibly talented artist, and skateboarder, which is interesting. But this song is basically about how he was super into art, and it was this huge release for him, and it was this incredible creative outlet, and how over the years I think he kind of went in the direction of music and let that fall by the wayside and kind of lost the connection with it. But yeah, there's a bit where he says, I left some years a deer in the light, I let some will to spirit away, I let my fears materialize, I let my skills deteriorate. Haunted by the thought of what should have been continuing, a mission that was rooted in a 20-year affinity and a rickety condition with an ID crisis. Like, it's just about having this, like, skill and this thing that you love and just letting it kind of rot, you know?
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably relatable for a lot of creative people, because you tend to emphasize... In the gig economy, you tend to emphasize... whatever thing is going to be most profitable for you, or the thing that happens to take off. And that does mean that a lot of your other kind of creative muscles can atrophy if you're not giving them the same level of focus.
Exactly. And I've never been I'm a musician in a casual sense, but like, I have to imagine that the stress of it is, you know, performing and keeping up and staying part of the scene, staying relevant is a lot. And so it's not shocking that it would happen. But I think he is doing a lot more art. So like, his Instagram is full of, I mean, almost every day he clearly got an iPad Pro and an Apple Pencil, and he's been doing these doodles and sketches, and he's amazingly talented. I mean, it's unreal. As somebody who wishes they could draw and can't, I'm just floored by the skill. But, you know, he hasn't toured since, God, was it 2016? I think it was 2016.
That sounds right from what I read.
Yeah, I went and saw it. It was for the Impossible, this album, and I got to see him live, and it was absolutely incredible. But, you know, he hasn't, I think the shine's come off the apple a little bit with, like, touring and music, and he's moved into doing, like, soundtracks for movies, and I think focusing a little bit more on the production type stuff. And there's been some, like, the next song that's going to play is like a side project, and he's got a couple other side projects, Hail Mary Melon with Rob Sonic, and you know, there's been others over the years, and Malibu Ken is one that we're going to play a song from, because that album's fire. But so I mean, he's still definitely doing music, but I think, I just don't know that he still gets out of touring and stuff what he once did.
I feel like a lot of musicians get to that point. Like, the Beatles famously just got to a point where they're like, we're just studio musicians.
Yeah, we're done.
Which I get it. It's, touring sounds so grueling. And I remember I was in a group with a few different people, maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And the singer was just one of those guys who's like, unbelievably talented, and you knew that, like, if he wanted to, no matter what project it was with, he could have made it doing mm-hmm. music. And it was ultimately why we stopped doing music together, because he was like, I don't like performing in front of people, I don't the thought of being on the road touring sounds like the worst thing in the world to me. I don't want to be away from my loved ones and like in strange cities on top of my performance anxiety. So it's just, it really is not for everybody.
No.
Even, and it's weird. Sometimes it's people's like desire to do it is incompatible with their talent level.
100%. Well, and it's, I think you have to either be an extrovert, or at least the majority extrovert, or you have to be able to like choose to deal with that. Because, and it's funny because I think a lot of musicians I know are much more introverted, which is how usually you get good at something like that in the first place, because you just sit by yourself and practice. But like, yeah, it's just, it's a grind. And I, you know, I respect it. I respect if Aesop doesn't tour ever again, I get it. I hope he does. I would love to be able to go see him again, but you know, it's definitely not for everybody. And I have to imagine it takes a toll. So this is the song by Malibu Ken, which is a group that he's a part of with, I think the guy's name is Tobacco. But I love this song. It's just about being a garbage person. Like, leads in with like him saying there's something you should probably know before we go too far. My neighbor found a mushroom growing inside of my car. She called me up on tour sounding emotionally scarred, but I think it scared her more that I wasn't really alarmed. Like, it just, yeah, like he says, and I relate to this so hard, like he's like, I do not open mail, I do not answer phones. Like, it just yeah.
Yeah, I can relate to that too.
Yeah, yeah, it just, it's pretty funny. There's, is it, I think it's this verse. Yeah, this. I like that line too. Can't even keep the cactus alive when I'm present. So yeah, I get this one. Just in my inner trash person really identifies with this song a lot, and I like it. This whole album though is really, really solid. Really solid. The beats are good.
Is this his most recent release?
Yeah. So, and it's not him as Aesop Rock as a solo artist. It's Malibu Ken is the name of the group. But it's really, it's great. And it's been cool that there have been a few of those things that have popped up, you know, in the gaps between him coming out with new albums. And in all honesty, I mean, like I said at the beginning, I've studied the Daylight EP and the Impossible Kid album and know them very, very intimately. But there's, you know, Bazooka Tooth is a great, great album too. Labor Days is a great album. I mean, there's a lot of other albums there that I will probably go deep on at some point. So it's not as if I still want for content. there's plenty right. of layers to peel back on that one.
Well, that brings us to the end of the playlist. So you have any kind of honorable mentions or other things you want to say before we move on to our drinking game?
Let's see. I made notes, of course. There are a couple other quotes that I noted that were from not songs that I put on here, but just ones that really stuck out to me. One, I felt like you would appreciate this one. Faith is a surrender of reason, not a reason to surrender, which I liked. And I think, God, what song is this from? I think it's from Nickel Plated Pockets. I could be wrong, but one of my favorite lines of all time is he says, I got 20 ways to tell you shut the fuck up. 19 of them are 24 words long. The other one goes, shut the fuck up. I like that one a lot. As somebody who like professionally has to tell people to shut the fuck up in sentences of 24 words, I can appreciate yeah. that. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it though. There's, you know, a boatload of other stuff out there and a million songs and lyrics and stuff that I could call out. But I think that was kind of a sampling of, again, trying to stick with some of the what I think are the more accessible songs for people who have not, you know, been into him like I am. And then also a couple throwbacks to kind of where it started for me with the Daylight Nightlight stuff. So
cool. Well, let's get into the drinking game. It is kind of Jeopardy style here. So the way we do this is instead of wagering points for your or saying assigning point values to the questions, you'll do the category and then a 1, 2, or 3 drink question.
Okay.
If you get it right, I have to take those drinks. If you get it wrong, you have to take them.
Okay. So they're all going to be about ASAP Rocky,
they're
right?
They're not. They're not. So your categories are Aesop, Rock, and A$AP Rocky.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I'll tell you what they are as you pick the questions.
Okay.
Where do you want to start?
I'm going to start with A$AP Rocky for one drink. Just like get those out of the way because I don't know anything.
All right. So your first one in that category, here's your one drink. Basically, all you have to do is tell me, is this an A$AP Rocky song?
I feel like I should just start drinking. I'm going to wait till he starts.
You got a 50-50 shot.
Yes?
It is, yep.
Yes! Okay.
All right, so I'll take a drink.
Thank God.
That's your only audio category.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Well, let's just do a little sampler from each one. So I'll do A$AP for one drink.
Okay, so for one drink, you have to tell me which of the following is not a real A$AP fable.
Okay.
The astrologer who fell into a well, the drowned woman and her husband, the old woman and the wine jar.
Man. You know, originally I was going to say the astrologer one, but now I'm thinking like, oh, looking up at the sky, walking, fall into a well. Also, I think that would be a stretch if you made that up. The drowned woman and her husband.
That is correct. Yes. I'll take a drink. I when I read the astrologer who fell into the well, I was like, what? That is so specific.
Well, originally I was like, that's got to be fake. And then I was like, well, no, because I mean, if they were, I have to imagine it's a fable, right? So it's about like fantasizing about the sky and not paying attention to where you're going and falling into a well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I haven't read it, but that seems like what it should be about.
I could be totally wrong. And the other one that I don't think a wine, I like, what is a wine jar? would you have made that up?
Right. Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, so then let's do rock for one drink.
Okay, blank is a type of quartz that contains slight impurities in the form of iron, which give it a violet to purple color.
Rose quartz.
No, it's amethyst.
Amethyst, okay. Well, that was my second guess.
Do you want to circle back around to A$AP Rocky?
Yeah, let's do it. That's funny. I thought rock was going to be like rock music, but actual rocks. All right, I'm into it.
Again, you need to tell me, is this an A$AP Rocky song?
Great. No.
No, it's not. It's Pusha T.
Okay. Sweet. I feel like such a grandma when it comes to like hip hop as a genre because I like, I mean, even like the popular hip hop that I like, it's like, but can I get some jams from the late 90s and early 2000s, please? Like,
you want to circle back to A$AP?
Yep. Let's just go and cycle them through.
All right.
Two
your
drinks.
Two drink question is, again, which of these is a real, it's not a real A$AP fable?
Okay.
The cock and the jewel, the ass and his masters, the beaver, the ass and the horse's skin.
Jesus. Is that four of them?
Yeah. That's how we're making it harder from question to question.
Okay. Okay, so it was the cock and the jewel, which is just hilarious. The
ass and his masters.
Yeah.
The beaver and the ass and the horse's skin.
I'm going to say the beaver.
That is real, actually.
That is real? Okay.
The ass and the horse's skin is the incorrect.
Really? Okay, well, that was like the last on the list of ones I would have guessed, so fine.
All right, so rock for two drinks. Ooh, okay. There are a series of unique properties that each mineral possesses. By testing these properties, one can identify most of the common minerals in the world. Which of the following is not one of these properties? A, luster. B, cleavage. C, hardness. Or D, transparency.
I want to say D, transparency.
You're right. That's right. So I'll take two drinks there, and then we're back to A$AP Rocky. Again, You just got to tell me if this is a song that he is in any way featured on.
Okay. Oh, in any way featured.
This is for three drinks.
I mean, it's a 50-50 shot. I'm going to go with yes.
It's not.
Damn.
This is Schoolboy Q.
I was hoping I was going to go 3-for-3 on the A$AP Rocky.
All right. Back to A$AP for your three-drink question. Once again, you're telling me which one of these is not a real A$AP fable. The cat and the mice. The crab and the fox. The wolf and the duck. The crow and the sheep. The crow and the snake.
What the fuck, A$AP? I'm gonna roll with the wolf and the duck because that sounds real weird.
Yeah, that's made up.
Yes,
I did these for Kat before she left this morning, and she said the crab and the fox. She's like, what on earth could those animals have to do with
in
one
what
another?
Circumstance yeah. would they be in the same neighborhood?
I'm so curious, just not curious enough to actually read them.
No, of course not. No. Well, maybe all like right. Wikipedia.
I'll take three drinks.
Give you like a synopsis.
Yeah, they hyperlinked all of them on the Aesop's Fable Wikipedia page, which
okay.
is great.
I guess I didn't know there were that many.
I know. I was, well, and I also was like, oh yeah, I know Aesop's Fables. And then I was like, I can't name a single
I don't know any
fable
of his.
And then he's also way older than I thought he was. He's from like 500 BC. I was like, what? I always thought of him as like Middle Ages time folklore.
Yeah,
you know?
That is
like he's from like ancient Greece. The grasshopper and the ant was one where I was like, oh okay, that rings a bell as I was going through the list. But and a few of them were like that, and then there were a bunch that if you asked me are they his were listed under like falsely attributed to him.
Well yeah, because I bet all the ones I'm thinking of would be on that list probably, like the isn't there one about like the tiger with a thorn in its paw and like the
Mouse yeah, actually, that I'm not sure about if that one's on there or not. There's like an insane amount of them.
No, yeah,
there's,
clearly.
They're organized alphabetically. Like, they're like, Aesop's Fables A through F. And Jesus. Then, like, yeah, there's just a million of them.
I'd be like, what are the ones I've probably heard of? I'd be curious. I'm probably going to Google that after this because now I'm curious.
I mean, if nothing else, this show is educational. So.
I'm saying I'm learning lots of stuff. Learning lots of stuff. A$AP Rocky and A$AP's Fables over here.
All right, this is your three drink question for the rock category.
Okay.
There are three types of rocks: sedimentary, metamorphic, and igneous. Each is formed in different ways. Which of the following is a type of igneous rock? A. Sandstone. B. Marble. C. Gneiss. And D, basalt.
Oh, I could literally tell you how all three of them are formed. I don't... it's one of the last two. And I'm just not super familiar with the two types of rock. So I'm going to go with whatever the G one was that you said.
I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing that right.
Okay.
But it's not that one. It's basalt.
Basalt. I knew it was one of the two. All right, I'll take my three drinks. God damn it.
All right, well... that's all of your questions. I would say you got more than 50% of those right, so we'll call that a win for you.
Fair enough.
Any final thoughts on A$AP Rock, A$AP's Fables, rock formations,
or A$AP Rocky.
Pusha T or Schoolboy Q?
Yeah, clearly I need to brush up on my newer hip hop. No, I mean I appreciate the opportunity to nerd out about one of my favorite rappers. I so rarely, like, people just have no idea who he is, and even if they do, it's like they know Kirby and no other songs. So nice to be able to actually dive into that a little bit. Always nice to have an excuse to drink before noon on a Sunday.
And we should say I hadn't really drank these before. As far as light beer goes, it's really, really good.
Really good, right? Like, I'm, full disclosure, like a total Bud Light girl. Like, that's, I'll have a couple good beers, but if I'm, like, drinking to have several, I want just water, basically. But this is a go-to for me if I want a good tasting lighter beer.
If you're not that familiar with like local New England craft beer, Night Shift Brewing, this is their light beer offering. It's called Night Light, and it's I think their whole angle on it was like, let's make a light beer that is actually crafted
for people
that are like kind of beer snobs. And it's still like, I don't think there's such a thing as a light beer that's gonna win awards.
Probably you know what
I
mean? Not.
But like but this is close. I mean, I have to drink a light beer, this is easily at the top of the
list. And for those basic bitches such as myself, they also make it in a lime light version, which is quite good too.
Oh, so it just has like a hint of lime?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a 6-pack of that. I was like, oh, that doesn't really tie into Aesop, but it's delicious. I love it. But anyway, yeah. So I appreciate, you know, being able to chat. I have a wildly diverse taste in music. This is definitely very far on one specific end of the spectrum, so I don't get to indulge it.
Yeah, you're from Vermont, you're a Phish fan. We've talked about this before, that if we ever do like a jam band
panel
style episode that we'll have you on for that. But thanks for coming on for this first episode. It was great to have you on, and to everybody listening, here's to you.
Cheers.
Cheers.